We're holding on page 166 in Babamasra, Ois Ayin Beis. We learned yesterday about something that Reb Levi said, a couple of things Reb Levi said about Midas versus about Midas versus Arayas, that the punishment for false Midas is in a way more severe than that for Arayas, because, as we said, it's impossible to fully repay what a person did with dishonest measures, as opposed to with Arayas, to a certain extent a person can do a full tshuva on it. And then also Reb Levi had said that gezel from an ordinary person is worse than gezel from Hashem. So now, the Gemara brings another statement from Reb Levi, not directly tied to the previous ones, but also about brachas and the opposite. So, come and see that the way that Hashem does, that it's not, that the way that boss of Adam, the way that human beings do things, is not the way Hashem does things. Hashem has greater rachmanus and gives more bracha than klala, as opposed to a person, we're going to say Moshe Rabbeinu, no less, nevertheless, he's still a boss of Adam, and therefore he gives more klala than bracha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu berach es Yisrael b'chof beis. When the Eivishter benched the Jewish people in Parshas B'chokoyseh, you have the brachas, and then you have the klolos. The brachas are with 22 letters. Namely, it goes from Aleph to Tav, as the Gemara is going to explain. The kilon b'ches, and the klolos over there go only for over 8 letters of the Aleph beis. Berachon b'chof beis, me'im b'chokoyseh ad pemim mi'yus. The section over there of the brachas begins with im b'chokoyseh teilechu. It begins with an aleph, and the last word in the brachas over there is kemi miyus with a suf. So it goes from aleph to tuf. The kilowam b'ches, and then the klolos over there are only covering 8 letters of the aleph bays. Mi v'im b'chokoyseh tim osu. Now, if you reject my chokim. Now you have the previous pasuk also begins the imloy sishmuli, but the Gemara is quoting from the next pasuk ad the eschokoyse gal on nafsham, until it finishes off that their souls rejected my chukim. Maybe that's why the Gemara is bringing Dabka those chukim, because it begins and ends with the Jewish people rejecting Hashem's chukim. And it ends with that. Now, after that, you have a couple of psukim of brachas. V'afgam zos v'yosim eretz eivim, v'zachar to them v'shoshonim. The last pasuk of klola is that one, v'eshokose gola nafshon. So it goes from vav to mem, which is only 8 letters. Moshe Rabbeinu, whereas Moshe Rabbeinu did the other way around, in the brachas and klolos in Chumash Devarim. Now Chumash Devarim, of course, is also part of the Torah. It's also dictated by Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu, but it's written, a large part of it is written in Moshe's voice. You have many times Moshe speaks there in first person, here in the, and then by Yom Hashem Eli, for example, another psukim like that. Here you have the other way around, where when he's referring to the brachas and klolos, then he speaks in third person, Hashem will do this, Hashem will give you that, etc. So it's more in Moshe's voice, as we call it, Shinim and Aderes Mitzvah Groinish on Moshe, that the Eibishter is speaking, but he's speaking through Moshe's throat, through Moshe's voice. There's a sicha where the Rebbe talks about the deeper idea behind that, that ultimately we get to the Sfarim of Nevi'im and Ksuvim, and then to Torah Shabbat, and then to the Sfarim of Torah Shabbat Peh, which are a much lower level of Gilui Elokus. The Sefer Dvarim is kind of like a stepping stone between them, from the first four Sfarim, which are dictated without Moshe himself having any his arvus in it, basically he's not really involved except as a conduit just to write it down. Whereas in Chumash Devarim, it's being filtered through Moshe's brain before it reaches us. Anyway, so Moshe Rabbeinu is the other way around. Beruchan b'ches v'chilam b'chof beis. Moshe ben, the brachas that Moshe gave the Jewish people in Kisavoy begin with, cover only 8 letters of the Aleph beis, v'chilam b'chof beis, and on the other hand, the klolos cover all 22 letters. Beruchan b'ches, namely it goes from, mi v'hoya im shamaya tishma, ad l'ov dom, so the same range from Vav to Mem, which is 8 letters, Vav, Zayin, Ches, Tes, Yod, Chof, Lamed, Mem. The kilam b'chafdeis mean v'hoya in loisishma ad ve'en koine. So it begins with a vav and ends with a hey, which means that it wraps around. It goes to the end of the aleph phase and then it wraps around to the beginning and goes until hey. So it covers all 22 letters.
So
we're saying that Hashem, so Rashbam says, on the most simple level, what it means is Hashem has greater rachmanus. No matter how much Moshe Rabbeinu was Oyev Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu loved the Jewish people, and nevertheless, still, his rachmanus for the Jewish people is still not as great as Hashem's. Right. Well, that's the point. In other words, the number of letters represents like the total range of brachas or the opposite. So Hashem's range of brachas is greater, covering all 22 letters of the aleph phase, whereas Hashem's range of klolos is only 8 letters of the aleph phase. And with Moshe, it's the other way around. The letter is the number of range of letters from beginning to end represents how much bracha and how much klolos there is. Somehow, Shaw gives an explanation like this. You notice another difference is that the ones in Bechukosai, which is part of Chumash Vayikra, are all Beloshin Rabin, whereas the ones in Kisavai are mostly Beloshin Yochin. Why? Because at the time when the ones in Vayikra were said at Har Sinai, you still had, there wasn't a concept that the Rabbim are responsible for the chet of an individual. That concept came in, that's called Arevus, and that came in primarily in Arvus Moyav, or even more so really, really when they crossed the Yarden, which is shortly after they're in Arvus Moyav. So therefore, in Vayikra, therefore they're phrased in the plural as if to say, when is there going to be all these things? When the Jewish people collectively keep mitzvahs, or the other way around. If an individual is not keeping mitzvahs, so an individual is doing averus, then it's not going to affect the rabbin. As opposed to in Kisavai, it does. In addition, also Marsha brings from the Zohar that the ones in Vayikra refer more to the first Beis Hamikdash, and the ones in Kisavai refer more to the second Beis Hamikdash. Other Mefoshim point out the same kind of idea, and we have, for example, an interesting point in that regard, that the ones in Bechukos, as a side point, for example, the ones in Bechukosai, right after the end of the Klolos, right away you have the Pesukim of Bracha. Whereas with the ones in Kisavo, we don't have right after that psukim of brachas. We have Ela Divra Bris, and we have Moshe speaking to the Jewish people. You saw all of Hashem's nisim, but we really only have the nechamas after that, only in the next parasha, only in Nitzavim. And then Hashem will bring you back to Eretz Yisrael and bring you to the Golam and Tzvashlema. So I think that Ramban gives an explanation along the same line. The ones in Bechukosai are primarily referring to the first Beis Mikdash. Therefore, also they mention, for example, the people worshipping Avodah Zarah and their Avodah Zarah being destroyed because that happened at the time of the first Beis Mikdash. But then you have the Golos after it was a relatively short one, only 70 years. Therefore, you have the Nechama right after that. Whereas the ones in Kisavai are primarily about the second Beis Hamikdash and its aftermath. And therefore, you have the Nechama is only many Pesukim later, just as the Nechama from our current Golos is only a long time after the Churban, so for 1900 plus years. Anyway, Marsha says, so the Zohar makes the same point. So now like this. What we're saying is, so the Eibishter's Midah Toiva has 22 letters representing that Hashem is benching them with every possible thing that you can say. The 22 letters of the Aleph Beis have between them all the possible sounds, all the possible primary sounds that the human mouth can make. So then you're going into the klolim, but you don't have bifrat because you can't really, it's not possible to speak all the pratim. There would be too much to say. The klolis then are able to cover only 8 letters representing, in other words, that it's only 8 letters. It is possible to say everything that's included in them, but Hashem kind of just incorporates them within the 8 without spelling them all out. As opposed to Midas Vasav Adam, Moshe Rabbeinu's Midah is the other way around. 22 of klolos, representing that every possible klolo that could be said, even the ones that are not mentioned in the pasuk, because you have the pesukim say over there, Gam kocholi v'chol makar shalek suva. Any sickness and any disaster that's not written in the Torah is going to happen. So Moshe Rabbeinu's klolos cover all 22 letters of the aleph phase, representing that it'll include everything, even everything that can't be said. Unlike the klolos in Bechukosai. The brachas, on the other hand, again, cover only 8 letters, meaning that a person is able to speak out all the brachas that are in those 8 letters. Then he goes on to say, why Dafka Vav and Mem? And he gives a long explanation over there that basically the letters He and Nun, if you look at the letters of the Aleph Beis, Aleph, for example, can pair up with Tes, because together they make the number 10. Beis pairs up with Ches, and so forth. He stands by itself. There's nothing else you can pair up with He to make 10 except another He. And Nun is the same thing as far as making 100. Therefore, we're saying these are the letters between them, the letters from Vav to Mem, represent what's between them, and therefore, therefore, those are the ones that are picked. Those are the ones that are picked for the klolus in the Hukosai and the brachos in Kisavai, respectively. Then Maharsha says one more thing. You see that in the brachos in the Hukosai, the letters of the 22 letters that we're saying are in order. It starts with Aleph, ends with Tav. Whereas the ones in Kisavai were saying it covers all 22 letters, the klolis cover all 22 letters, but it's not in order. It doesn't go from Aleph to Tav. We're saying it goes from Vav to Tav, and then wraps around again from Aleph to Hey. Representing, in other words, they won't really have a seder to them. Though they're going to happen, but they don't have a seder to them. Unlike the in fact, they can be flipped around. And Hashem, he brings from the Medrash that Hashem says, if you're zeicha, then I'll flip them around, and all of them will turn into brachas. Okay, so those are the contrasts between the brachas and klolos in Vayikra, which are directly dictated by Hashem, whereas the ones in, as opposed to the ones in Kisavai, which are filtered through Groina Shel Moshe. There is a sicha from Tavshin Chav Daled where the Rebbe talks about briefly, seems that the Chozrim weren't able to capture everything that Rebbe said. So you look in Teres Menachem, you find only like a summary of it, but the gist of it that Rebbe says is that when we say over here Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Midas Bosav Adam also refers to the Nefesh HaLekis versus the Nefesh HaBahamas. The Nefesh HaLekis is Avodah Zaseh Toiv. The Nefesh HaBahamas is Avodah Sur Merah. And therefore, the Gemara is pointing out the contrast between them. Each one has its own way. One has Moshe Rabbeinu has his way of doing it. Hashem has his way of doing it, representing, in other words, each one. The Nefesh HaLekis has its Avodah. The Nefesh HaBahamas has its Avodah. Don't confuse them. A person has to know what his area of Avodah is and not to mix it up with somebody else's Avodah. That's the message of our Gemara over here. Okay. Getting back to the matters of midos and mishkolos, of weights and measures, so the Gemara says tanan rabbanan. Now you have like this. To start with, when you're selling somebody, let's say flour or other things like that that are measured out into a container, there's two ways you could do it. Let's say, for example, somebody is buying a saw of flour from you. You have two ways that you could measure the saw. One would be to say you have a container that will hold a saw up to the rim. So what you would do is you'd pour the flour in, it's going to make a heap, and then what you would do is you would take a stick, a machak it's called, and you would level off the measure so that the flour goes just exactly to the top of the bowl. The other way of doing it would be the bowl itself would hold less than a saw, and with the heap on top, it would hold a complete saw. Elsewhere, the Gemara says that the ratio between them is 2 to 3. If you have a bowl or a measuring container or whatever of the right dimensions, then the heap on top will be equal to 50% of what the bowl of what the container itself will hold. So say, for example, you could have a container where up to the rim it will hold 2/3 of a saw, and then the heap above it will be the other 1/3, and together you have a complete saw. So the Gemara is talking about that you have in different places, there are different minhagim of how to do it. In some places they have the minhag was the a measuring container called a saw would actually hold exactly a saw up to the rim, and in other places they would have with something that's called a saw would actually hold less than that, and then you'd heap it up, and together with the heap it would add up to a saw. So the Gemara says, Tanan Rabbanan, Minayin Shein Mochkin B'Mokim Shegoyin Shein. How do we know that if it's a place where the local minhag is to heap it up, that the measure does include the heap as well, and that altogether makes a saw, then you're not allowed to be moichkin. You can't say, for example, let's say the buyer says, you know what, I don't need the whole saw. I'm willing to forego. I'm willing to not get a complete saw. I'll get only 2/3 of it or whatever. How do we know that you can't do that? You can't level it off and just give him the lesser amount. Or even it could be where he's moichel. It could be where you'll adjust the price accordingly. You can't do that. The in gurchin mamakam shemoichkin. Or vice versa, if it's a place where the local minhag is to level it off, and instead you're going to sell a heaped measure and either charge more or be moichel the extra price. How do we know you can't do that? Talmud Lomer, therefore the pasuk is Evan Eifa Shlema. You have to have a complete Eifa. So it's not Vatzedek, Rashbam points out. Here the Gemara is not quoting the word Vatzedek over here, just the word Shlema itself. It has to be Shlema according to the local minhag. The reason... No, meaning in other words, what you're selling has to be Shlema according to the local practice, depending whether Goetz or Murchin as the case may be. Meaning, Rashbam explains like this. Suppose, for example, it's a place where the local minhag is that a sa means the content of the container plus the heap on top. Now, let's say you're going to sell somebody flour, let's say, and you're going to decide between yourselves, you know what, in this case, we're going to level it off, and I'm just going to sell you the leveled off container. Other people may see that, and they're going to think that that is the local minhag. They're not going to realize that the normal thing to do locally is to sell a heaped measure. Now what's going to happen is, the next time somebody is selling, he's going to be able to use that to cheat a customer. He's going to be able to, he'll tell him, here, around here, we sell a saw leveled off, and the customer will say, you know what, I guess that makes sense. The other day, I saw somebody do that. And he's not going to realize that he's getting shortchanged. Or vice versa, if it's a place where they sell leveled off and you're going to sell it with heaped, then you have the other way around. Now the seller may get cheated. Same idea, in other words, because he's not going to realize that the local minhag, the seller, remember, is not always living in that town. He himself may have come from out of town to sell to the local customers. He himself may not know what the local minhag is, and then he's going to end up getting defrauded. So therefore you can't do that. Only nine sheep. So that's talking. So the first part is talking about where he's willing to be moichel. Never mind adjustments in prices. Just that he's saying I'm willing to be moichel. I know that I'm supposed to be getting a saw. In this case, let's say you're going to sell me a non-heaped one, and it'll be only 2/3 of the actual amount. The case would be that he says I'm willing to be moichel, and you're saying you can't do that. Now the braisa continues. What about adjustments in price? So the seller is going to say, I know in this place the minhag is to heap it, but instead, how about I sell you only a leveled off measure, the lishchos lemon adam, and I'll adjust the price. I'll take off one. I'll discount it by 1/3 because you're getting 1/3 less flour. Or the other way around, it's a place where they usually sell it leveled off, and you're saying, I'm going to sell it as a heaped measure, and the customer says, I'll pay you extra for that amount. You can't do that either. Talmud Leimar, how do we know we don't listen to that either? Talmud Leimar, Eifa Shlema Vatzedek Yaloch. Here you also have the word Vatzedek, meaning it's not just enough to have Shlema, it has to be Tzedek, in a way that everybody will realize that you're doing it the way that it's supposed to be in this city. And again, that way nobody will be defrauded or cheated or taken advantage of in the future because some other seller is not going to make those adjustments or not going to do those mechilas or whatever. And then you're going to have a problem. So you know, you have to follow the minhag hamedina. If there's no minhag, then I guess then people can make their own rules. But in general, as the next piece of Gemara is going to say, we'll get to in a minute. The local Beis Din has a responsibility to set up to arrange for administrators to have inspectors going around to the different stores and checking things. So ultimately, there's going to have to be some kind of standard. It also includes, Mephoshim point out, you could also have, let's say again, given that the heap contains 50% more than what's inside the container, let's say, for example, you have a person who wants to buy 3 saw. So you might say, for example, let's say this is a place where they normally measure the saws by leveling it off. So you might say, you know what, instead of selling you 3 containers full exactly to the top, I'll sell you 2 that are heaped up. You can't do that either. Same idea, because other people are not going to realize they're going to think the local minhag is to heap it, and you're going to have problems. Okay. The Gemara continues, turning up on him. Minayin shein ma'ayt. Similarly, we learned yesterday in the Mishnah that in the same vein, when it comes to the idea, we said the seller has to give the buyer a little bit extra. The Gemara first learned it from a pasuk, and then said that actually it depends on minhag hamedina. But we said there's 2 ways of doing it. Again, there was the idea that one way is where you measure where you exactly balance the 2 pans of the scale, and then after you take it off the scale, you add the extra for the customer, which we called it you give him gerumim. Or we said the other way was to begin with when it's on the scale. scale, you make sure that the side with what you're selling him is going to be a tefach lower than the other side, which again, therefore, you're giving him a little bit extra. So, similarly, Tanan Rabbanan, Minayin Shein Ma'ainin B'Makom Shemachriyin, if the local minhag is to make the, if the local scale is to put extra on the scale itself so that it tilts in favor of the buyer, how do we know that you can't instead say, you know what, I'm not going to do that this time, I'm just going to measure, make them both equal, and then after I take it off the scale, I'll add you the extra. Vein Machriyin B'Makom Shemainin, or vice versa, if it's a place where the local minhag is to measure it exactly balanced on the scale and then add the gerurim afterwards, how do we know you can't decide on your own to do the other way around, to add it while it's on the scale? Same thing, Tanurama Evan Shlema. Therefore, also the Pasuk says, a perfect stone, a weight, in other words. Again, the idea being, you don't want to mislead onlookers. They're going to see, for example, that you're weighing them out, what's supposed to be a pound of meat, and you're doing, let's say, for example, you're doing it exactly balanced where everybody else is supposed, where the local minhag is supposed to be machriyin. The customer is not going to realize that later on you add in the gerumim, he's going to think that this is how it's done locally, and then he's going to end up getting defrauded later when he goes to another seller or vice versa. So therefore, we learned that from Evan Shlema. How about even when he says, so fine, I'll adjust the price, instead of machrin, I'll do just ma'ayin, I'll do exactly balanced, and I'll deduct from the price, so that in effect, he gets the extra that way. Or the other way around, the customer might say that, you know what, make the scale overbalance in my favor, and I'll pay you extra. But that's not the local minhag to do it that way. Again, Talmud Lema Minayin Shein Shemin Loy. We don't listen to him. Talmud Lema Evan Shlema Vatzedek Yaloch. Therefore, it says Vatzedek. You have to make sure that there's 100% Tzedek over here that nobody else should get, that no other onlookers should be misled. Rashbam points out, actually, there's a parenthetical note over here in Rashbam, which seems to be from Akosiv, that says that really we're not learning so much from Shlema. The word Shlema just means that it has to be a pound, whatever it says on it. The idea that you can't add or subtract from the measure to give the customer the extra in a different way, that wouldn't be covered by the Shlema, that would be covered by Vatzedek. Make sure that it's done in a way of Tzedek, that everybody realizes that that this is the local minhag, and they're not in that way. When they go to the next store, they'll know to be able to get their merchandise the right way and not to end up getting too little or paying too much or whatever. Okay. Now, the Pasuk says by both of them, Yiyaloch. You will have. So in the simple sense, it means you should have. You should have a perfect eifah, and you should have a perfect weight. And previously, the pasuk starts off by saying, lo yiyalecha b'chischa. You should not have in your bag, you should not have different eifahs, different weights that claim to be an eifah, and similarly with other things. So the Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda Misura, the word lo yiyah doesn't just mean you should not have. It means you will not have. Lo yiyah lo b'vesa, yilecha b'vescha, that the pasuk is also warning a person, you won't have anything in your house. Matam mishum eifa ve'eifa. If you have, for example, two different weights that are both labeled an eifa, and one of them is the proper weight, and the other one is underweight or overweight or whatever, so you're using that to cheat customers, then lo yia lo b'kisay or lecha b'kischa. So then he won't have anything in his house or in his pocket. So that's why the pasuk says lo yia lecha b'vescha even va'even. It means, in other words, Rabbi Yehuda Misura is darshining lo yia lecha b'vescha. You will not have anything in your house. You're going to be poor. Why? Because you have even va'even. Because you have dishonest weights. Similarly, when the next pasuk says lo yia lecha b'chischa, or the other way around, first it says eifa, but whatever, yeah, so you won't have anything in your house because you have dishonest eifa measures. Similarly, you won't have in your bag, or again, the simple meaning is you shouldn't have in your bag, but the Gemara is dashing that it means you won't have anything in your bag, in your money bag, matam, why mishum even ve'even, because you have dishonest weights. Aval, even shlema v'tzedek, yiloch, however, as the pasuk continues, a perfect and just stone weight, you will have eifa shleima v'tzedek yiyaloch. You will have a perfect and just eifa, meaning the yiyaloch doesn't just mean you should have, means you will have. If you have even shleima v'tzedek and you have eifa shleima v'tzedek, then yiyaloch you will have. Hashem will venture you with wealth, and if not, then the other way around.
Just come up with the And to scale with a child, that's not accurate.
So we're talking about business weights primarily. I mean, the truth is, and you know, here we just have an ENIAC. If we have a little bit of, we only have the Agadta about it, really. But for example, the Gemara, we'll learn later on. The Gemara mentions, for example, that sometimes there are some places, for example, where they had the local minhag is that weights and measures and things like that had to be stamped with an official government seal, and if not, then you couldn't use them in your store. So in that case, the Gemara says, if you have one that's not stamped, anyway, you're not going to be able to use it in your store, so therefore there's no problem having it around. So the pashtus, yeah, if your bathroom scale, if you keep your bathroom scale a couple of pounds off because you want to look lighter, then it doesn't seem like there would be any objection to that.
Clocks and that...
Yeah, clocks is something else, maybe. I don't know, yeah. So we're talking about business scales, yeah. Worth mentioning in this connection, by the way, and this also actually ties in with what we learned yesterday in the Gemara about ale versus ale with the extra hay. It's brought in Sfarim that a scale actually represents Shem Havaya. You have the fulcrum, the part that turns on is like the yud. You have the pole that the baskets or pans or whatever hang from is like the vav, and the two pans themselves are like the two letters A. So they actually, Ben Yehoyada says, that's why when we learned yesterday that you have ale by Arias versus ale by Midas, that's why, because in other words, when a person has honest scales, then he has the proper two hays of Hashem's name. If not, then he's messing up one of those hays of Hashem's name, and therefore the hay is added to the word ale to make ale, and his punishment is more severe. There's actually, Van Lawyers brings Saka in that story a connection about a place where one time there was a kahila where they were having a terrible drought, And the Rav is davening and everybody else is davening, all the local Hasidim and Tzaddikim are davening and nothing. And finally they're told, Minash Shemayim, you have to call in Pliny, the storekeeper, and he'll daven and the Eibishter will listen to his tefillas. So they call him in and he has no idea, he's a Poshet Yid, So he brings in his scale and he hits on the same idea. The scale represents Shem Avaya, and he says that he turns to the Eibishter and he says, I've always been careful in all my years of business that my scales are always 100% accurate and that I always do the right things for my customers. So therefore, in the schutz of that, please answer my tefillah. And sure enough, rain fell. Yeah. Okay, the Gemara goes on. Yieloch. Here's another meaning of those words, yieloch, that you should have. By the way, my Rashbam refers in this connection to the Gemara tells us in Nida. They asked the Jews of Alexandria asked Rabbi Yeshua a bunch of questions. The Gemara says over there they asked him three divrei chokhmah, three divrei derech eretz, etc. Including also interestingly, the Gemara says there they asked him three divrei burus, three things of amoratzus. There's actually an interesting sikha, but I never points out where you analyze those things. They're not amoratzos at all. But anyway, only amoratzos, only Buddhist relative to what they should have realized, but whatever, anyway. So one of the things they asked him in Yonah Jerecheret, they asked him, what should a person do in order to become rich? And he tells them, Yistavit in Bemuna, a person has to do business honestly. So therefore, Rashbam says, Or Gemara fits with the same idea, that when a person does business honestly, Yiyaloch, then the Eibishter will give him a lot. Okay. So now the Gemara says, Tananabon, Yiyaloch, here's another meaning of the words yieloch, you should have. This is not just an instruction to the individual person. You have to have honest weights and measures, and not just also a havtocha, not just a promise to him, as we just said, that you will have wealth if you do honestly. It's also an instruction to the beis din. Meaning, in other words, Rashbam says, because after all, the pasuk could have said like this. It could have said lo yieloch beveischa even ve'even gdolo tana ki im ev eifah shleim of a tzedek. Why does it have to repeat the yieloch twice? So therefore, we can learn from that, not just that it's a promise and a warning to the individual, but it's also a warning to, it's also an instruction to beis din. This teaches us that Beis Din is responsible for setting up that there should be inspectors for weights. They have to have people going around to inspect people's weights, and if they find any weight that's dishonest, then they're going to punish the guy. They're empowered to punish the guy however they feel is necessary. So you do that. You set that up as far as measures. However, Beis Din is not responsible for setting up similar kinds of inspectors. As far as prices, Rashbam says this is a svara. Because in other words, what's going to happen if somebody decides to overcharge? he's going to lose customers. So therefore, Basedin doesn't need to keep an eye on that to let people set their own prices. And if he prices things too high, then everybody will just go to his competitors. But when it comes to weights, you have to have the Basedin is responsible for having inspectors go around and check their weights and measures and scales and whatnot. So the Gemara tells a story. Debenesia, the household of the Nasi, meaning the Reish Galusa, the governor of the Jews in Babel, Oikimu Agardimin, Bein Lamidis, Bein Lasharim. They were appointing inspectors both as far as weights and measures and as far as prices. So they held that you need to enforce price controls as well and make sure that people are not charging extra. However, as we just said, the Svara is you don't need that. Amar le Shmuel Kauna. So Shmuel tells Kauna. We find him in different places in Shas. Kauna, he was a Talmud Chacham in that time of Rav and Shmuel. We find him mentioned in various places in Shas. One thing we find about him, he collected a collection of brises, particularly on Seder Nezikin, on matters of Dini Mominus, and it's mentioned, it's quoted in a few places in the Gemara. It's called Nezikin de Beit Kauna. The same way, for example, Reb Chiya and Reb Oshia collected brises, which became the Tosefta, and the Gemara mentions in various places brises that Levi collected, etc. The same way Kauna was one of the Chacham of that time who also did that. Anyway, so Shmuel says to Kauna, Puk Toni Lahu, go teach them, these people of the Reish Galus's household, that they're doing wrong. They don't need to have overseers as far as prices. Nofak, so Kauna went out to talk to them, but he didn't do what Shmuel said. Darash Lahu, he darshan to them, not Mamidim Agardimim, Bein Lamidis, or Bein Lasharim. Basically, he told them what you're doing is correct. You should have Agardimim for prices as well. So he disobeyed Shmuel. So when Shmuel found out what happened, Amalei Mashimcha, what's your name? Now, of course, he knew his name. He just meant he's going to, like, play on his words, on his name to criticize him. Kauna. So he says, typical nachkala kauna be'enei. A kauna should come out in his eye. A kauna literally means a horn. So a number of the mafoshim say that it means more like a wart or a growth or something like that. So in other words, for disobeying Shmuel, he got this punishment. Rashbam points out, the Gemara tells us in Shabbos, and the Gemara tells us in Shabbos a story involving Rav, where Kauna disobeyed Rav as well, and Rav also said the same thing to him, that your name is Kauna, and a Kauna should come out in your eye. So Rashbam says, okay, Gomelei Habahar, it was both. The fact that he was criticized by Rav and by Shmuel caused that it actually happened. Then, you know, Yoda says, listen, I mean, it could be one of them caused it on one eye and the other one on the other. So,
So in that
one, because of checking, right, so actually Ben Yoyada makes the point, like, what he's doing is, and not so much checking weights, Ben Yoyada makes the point, you know, what is he doing? He's causing that the storekeepers are having to be inspected more thoroughly than Shmuel held they should have to be. Shmuel held they don't have to be inspected as far as what prices they're charging, and Kauna is saying they do. So therefore, like, he's causing more eyes are being put on them, and therefore something happened to his eye, that a wart or something grew in or near it or something. How do you apply this
delay?
So hold on. So first of all, who commands Savra? Well, the question is, look, Kauna is a Talmud Chacham. He's not Sam disobeying Shmuel for no reason. Who did he hold like? If we said that a Braisa said you only need a Gaudimim for weights and measures, not for prices, so what's Kauna's basis for, and Shmuel is saying that that's how it is, then what's Kauna's basis for disagreeing with it? The answer is Kihad Amar Rami Ba'aba or Chama Amar Yitzchak, because he holds like a different opinion. That Rami Ba'ama or Ba'aba or Rami Ba'chama says in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak that yes, ma'amidim agardimim bein lamidus or bein lasharim. Why? Mipnei haramoyim, because of potential cheaters. Meaning, Rashbam says two possibilities. First of all, it might be that this guy will wait until everybody else sells out their stock and then he'll jack up the prices. So we want to prevent that. So therefore, we need agardimim for prices as well to prevent him from doing that. The second. Okay, the second explanation, Rashbam says, is that you're going to have, they're going to charge more, but they're going to claim our merchandise is better, everybody else's is, everybody else, we added you extra, or for example, they're going to put the good stuff on top of the bin and the bad stuff further down and pretend like everything is better, or all kinds of different kinds of trickery that they can do like that. Rashbam mentions in this connection, actually, the Gemara tells us in Yuma, there was a point when there were officials in Yerushalayim in the years before Churban Bayis Sheni who would force storekeepers to sell at cheaper prices. So therefore, people are going to come up with all kinds of ways to evade that, and therefore, Kauna held and following Romi Ba'aba in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak, that we have to avoid, we have to try to prevent that, and therefore, we do have to have the Beis Din is responsible for having people oversee the prices as well. Halacha, though, after all, is like Shmuel in that we only need overseers for midas and not for midas and mishkolas and not for prices. Practically speaking, I mean, nowadays we live under goyish governments, and they were supposed to be overseeing these things. Usually, the local batei dinim don't really have the power to do a whole lot about it, you know. You do have, for example, sometimes you see, for example, before Pesach time, particularly sometimes you see kokodes where they put out urging people to not price gouge before Pesach, you know, for all the good that it does. But yeah. So the Gemara continues. Turn it up, Bonon. We'll leave this for next time. Okay. Yom Yom Mashiach Ugo'olah. Of days of the Aleph. So we started learning yesterday that Eber talked about that we have the difference between Olam Hazeh, where sometimes good wins out and sometimes the opposite, as opposed to, we said, La'asid Lavoi, Toiv and Ra will be Nisbaro completely, one from the other, and we won't be under any control of such thing, but they'll still, Ra will, Sitra Achra will still exist, and it'll still have a certain dominion over the Erev Ra. Now, the Rebbe continues, on the other hand, when we come to the world of Tchias HaMesim, then it's Ruach HaTumah, Avim and Aretz. Then there's no chet and no death in the world at all, as the Gemara tells us in Sukkah, the Eibishter will shech the Yetzirah, which is the Malach HaMavis, and then at that point you'll have the people will reach the peak of perfection. So we don't just mean, in other words, there's going to be, in proportion to whatever a person accomplished as an avodah, but on top of that, there's also going to be what's given the matana milamayla, where we have the expression. The Gemara tells us that the tzaddikim will be sitting with their crowns on their heads, and then in yisiv hashchina. So that means, in other words, a person is going to have worked on himself and brought himself to the highest shleimus, and then he'll get an even higher schar, which we can't even comprehend. This schar will be received as in the shama and a guf, because that's the whole purpose that the Eibishter created the world. The Yisrael's brother did with Tachtoinim, as Alter Rebbe is discussing in Tanya these days, and therefore it has to be the ultimate schar has to be for an shama and a guf. We talked about before the Rambam's shita about it is that Tchias HaMesim is not the ultimate schar, that he holds that after Tchias HaMesim there's going to be a world of only neshamas, so the Rambam holds that's the ultimate schar. But the Ramban disagrees with that in a sefer Shaar HaGmul, and the Alter Rebbe in Mekutei Torah. Says that follows the Ramban in that, and all that obey him after that. Throughout Chassidus, follow the Ramban in that the ultimate shleimus, and the ultimate taflus, and the ultimate schar is for neshamas in bodies.
It says who brings in Tanya, but from the
Alter Rebbe pointed out in Tanya in yesterday's Tanya, that Kabbalah Schar is mainly in Elif Hashvi, and then, but that's in other words, that's the tachlis of the Kabbalah Schar that we're talking about for Neshamas in Gufin. Whereas in Elif Hashvi, whereas before that is going to be the perfection of Dilo Yisbarak Tatanim, yeah.
Elif Hashvi is
going to
be the Gufin.
Yeah, that's, but even after that, it's going to be Gufim, it's going to be Neshamas and Gufim, yeah. Okay. Everybody agrees that the ultimate is Chayyah Olam Abba. The question is just, what does Olam Abba mean? The Rambam's definition of Olam Abba is the world of Neshamas. And the Rambam even explains. He says, it's not Olam Abba because it doesn't exist yet. It's Olam Abba because it comes after a person's lifetime, he comes to there. Mashenkin, then a man disagrees with that and says it's haba in the sense it's the world after Tchias HaMesim, which taka doesn't exist yet because we're not at the time of Tchias HaMesim yet. Okay. So Chabez or the Bez, the Rebbe talks about that first of all, Mashiach himself will have the Shleimus that we learned about yesterday. Hoygu Atorah, Yochav Koisol, Yochav Muhammad Hashem. Besides that also, so again, you have Yaskil Abdi, as the Pasuk says, he'll be wise. Yoram Minister of Gavah Ma'od will be very high. On top of that also, Yisakana Sa'olam Kula, Lavdus Hashem. As the Pasuk says, that he'll transform even the nations, liquor kolam Hashem Hashem, with the gula amit esvash lema take from Yad Mamash. This is Alter Rebbe talked about in today's Tanya as well, that from the Ur of the Jewish people, yagia choshef umis gamken, that also the darkness of the goyim will also be illuminated by the light from the Jewish people, yeah. Continuing with halachas of tzitzis, You have a concept that sits, it's called tassav loimina osui. So the pasuk, since the pasuk says gilim tassav l'cho, you should make for yourself tzitzis, that implies it can't be mina osui from something that's already made when it wasn't yet kosher tzitzis. So one example is, you had a beged that had only three corners, and you put tzitzis on it, and then you made a fourth corner on it, and made tzitzis on that as well. The first three are going to be pasul, and you're going to have to take them off and put them back on, because at that point they were pasul, because a three-cornered garment, like we learned before, is not chayiv in tzitzis. You made the fourth corner, that's tassav l'emin osri, because they were already made there before. So not even if you had all three of them on, even if you only had one tzitzis on, even if you only did one winding, one choya, and then you put the four corners and made tzitzis, you're gonna have to take off whatever you did and start all over again. However, on the other hand, the Alter Rebbe goes on to say, now, so let's say in this scenario, so you had a three-cornered garment, you put three tzitzis on it, let's say, or one or whatever, and then you added the fourth corner and added the fourth tzitzah. Do you have to undo that fourth one? No. It was on the talus when it was possible. Doesn't matter. The fact is that fourth tzitzah was put on after the fourth corner was put on, therefore it itself was made bekashrus, and therefore you don't have to remove that one. But the other three, which were made before the talus, was chayiv and tzitzis. Then you would have to take them out and redo them. So we talked about before that if your talus completely falls off, you would have to make a new bracha, but if it only partially fell off, then no. And we said that, for example, if it falls off during Shemini Esrei and you yourself can't put it back on, then somebody else will put it on you, and then you'll make the bracha afterwards. Take it off on purpose, that we also talked about previously. It depends how long you're taking it off for, whether you have in mind to put it on within a relatively short amount of time, 3 hours, the Alter Rebbe says in the Siddur, or whether you didn't plan to put it on shortly after, and then you changed your mind, you would have to make a new bracha, or if you plan to put it on again, but it's going to be only in 3 hours from now, you would also need to make a bracha, less than that, not. Yeah. Okay,